All right, I'm back. How was your weekend?
Hey, Mike. Well, I had a good weekend. It was busy,
yeah.
But that's good. Yeah, I worked a little bit more than I thought I would, which is also good. So,
yeah. Tell me what you found.
So anything, I just sent you an email. Did you get it, or have you had time?
No, what time did you send it?
Well, it was just not long ago, but, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and pull it up, Mike, okay?
Okay.
So I can... Okay, so it was a very good learning experience. I went through the 37 video again, which was everything you told me on the phone last time, and I went through the step one, all of that today.
Yep.
And so this is what I said. I said, for that property I'm looking at, I said I confirmed the rent as $900. That was a solid.
Tom here.
There are 2,053 absentee owners in that zip code. I got that off the list source.
Over what period of time?
3 months.
2,000 in 3 months?
That's what I put in the data.
Holy smokes.
Well, yeah, and then here's the next piece. When I did recent sales on Zillow for that area, I could not find any recent sales. The most recent was 2016. Does that make sense?
Not a few. If list source is telling you 2,000 in 3 months, and Zillow says nothing in the last couple months, then there's a discrepancy somewhere.
Well, yeah. I put in the exact address in Zillow for recently sold. 13303 was the address. I put
okay.
it in. It didn't pull up any information. What I did with list source, I put in the entire zip code. I didn't know how to put down, I didn't know what to do beyond that for list source.
Yeah, zip code's fine. I mean, in step one, we do the whole CMA, but you can do the city, not the CMA, but the MSA, the statistical area.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you sent that email to the coaching center?
Yeah, I just did. I did about a half hour ago.
Okay. I was pretty tied up there, so I probably
That's okay. And so what my data showed is even though they're buying in 40272, which all my buyers were to buy in, but there's no one buying on this Meadow Lawn Lane.
Well, it seems, is there anything off on that street?
You know, I can do it. I was focusing in the area, basically, but I can do a further search.
If it's in the zip code, I mean, it could be that street, you know, that everybody avoided, but I would think if it fits in with the rest of the zip code.
Yeah.
So a couple of things seem a little bit off. I'll have to go through that email. Did you put all this in the email that you sent over?
Oh, yes. Everything's in the email for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll jump into list source and grab the zip code and see what I find in there. And confirm some of the research. But did you get a hold of, you said that you had a couple buyers who were experienced. Did you talk to them about the zip code?
You know what? I know they like the zip code. I never did make the call about the actual Meadow Lawn Drive. I was going to do that and ran out of time today. But I can still do it. That's no issue.
Yeah, it's you're only, what, are you an hour ahead there? Well, even if you're 2 hours ahead in the East Coast, it doesn't matter if it's 6 o'clock.
Oh, they don't care.
That's not very late. Yeah.
No, I'm 2 hours ahead. And then, I can call those people. And then I did the, in my mind, okay, I called the guy back on intuition on Saturday, and his son, who spoke perfect English, answered. And I gave him the numbers for his dad and the 27,000. I came up with that. And then in my mind, I was going to, if someone really wants to buy in that area, I was going to say, I'd like to get, just pay you what, 27, and then I could go, I was going to negotiate up to 30, and that would still give me good numbers, and that's on the email.
Right. So the son was going to get the numbers to his dad, is that?
Yeah, that's it.
The plan? Okay, and then do you have a direct phone number to the son?
Yes, he gave me.
Perfect.
No, I need to get that. He gave me his dad's direct, which I didn't have.
Okay, that's good, but it's a little easier to communicate with the son, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be
and
great. Keep them all. Keep them all in the loop. When do you expect to hear back from them? Any word on that?
I'm going to call him back tomorrow.
Okay.
So I did the numbers, and I'll just. So if I buy, if the seller, if buyer buys it for $35,000, puts $20,000 in, he gets 7.2 years ROC. He gets 75-60 net annual income, and I got the interest for 3% ROI, which seemed decent.
Yeah, you've got it at, you said 900 that you confirmed, so 70% is 630.
Yep.
And then what's your all-in number? 30, you sell it for 35, and then how much to fix it?
I said 20. 20 to fix
okay.
it.
So
I'm only so for 55,000.
55,000 divided by 630, 87 months divided by 12, 7.3 years basically. There'll be a little bit in closing costs in there, so.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
It is strong. If it's, like I say, if I got someone there.
Yeah.
So I'll finish this all up tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll call my guy when I get off the call or after it's over. And I'll keep you updated, okay?
Yes, and I will check out that email. Probably be in the morning, but. I'm curious to see what I find on ListSource and then what Zillow is saying. Hey, you guys, here's the other thing, too, is, right, we've been talking about where do we find buyers? Well, if you go, and this is right inside FreedomSoft, you can go to the Cash Buyer tool,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
and you can put in the area or the county or whatever, and it'll pull up cash buyers, and then the default view that you can look at is the list where it'll show you the company name, how many they've bought. But then in the top right corner, you can click to map. And I know this is in some of the training, but sometimes, you know, FreedomSoft does so much that it's easy to forget some of these little features. You can go right over to the map feature. So if you go to your market and go back a couple years and find the biggest buyers, and then you can click on map, and it'll show you all the properties they've bought on a map. And so those are great references as well. When you go in and you say, hey, is anybody buying in this area or this zip code or on this street or whatever, you know, you've got that pulled up on one tab and then pull up FreedomSoft on the other and look at all those buyers and go to the map feature, map out the few biggest, and see if there's activity in the area. So it's just another way, right? List, you can do it on ListSource. You can use that tool in FreedomSoft, right? There's always more than one way to skin a cat. It's just that tool is right there and available to you. So don't forget that one that you just have for these buyers. So, yeah, Olivia, good stuff. Again, you know, up front, you're going to put in some extra time and do some research and learn the market a little bit and really learn what the buyers are doing. But here's what I think you should do. I think you should jump off, click off this call, call those buyers you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got one on this street in this zip code in this price point. Does that work for you? And hopefully you get a hold of one or two. And if so, chime back in and then let us know what you find out.
Yeah, perfect. I'll do that. Sounds
perfect.
Good.
Okay, talk to you here in a bit.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. See ya. Who else is on?
Tom here. How you doing?
What's up, Captain? I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. The saga continues. This guy in Pittsburgh, he now feels better and wants to keep some of his stuff. He maybe wants to partner with me. I'm not real sure. He called me this morning with, I don't really know what he was saying. He was saying, you know, one of the houses I can buy if I want. One of the houses has two or three or four squatters in it. That's the 2-2 that I was looking at. I'm not all that interested in messing with that unless they get them out of there. The triplex, the one that I thought was already gone that somebody had a look at and put an offer on, they're falling apart. So I may be able to get that one.
Perfect.
So you take
this for what it is. I'm not sure what he was saying. It sounds like you weren't either on the partnership deal. Either choose on that or not. And then, I mean, you've got other leads to get on the phone. So some people are going to, you know, what you're looking for, Tom, is you're sniffing out motivation, right? And I know you know that. It sounded like these two guys were pretty motivated. That has maybe changed a little. I mean, that's a reality. People change their mind. So,
yeah,
this is
the guy
why
in California is motivated. He wants his cash. He wants out, you know. And the other guy,
you've got
to
team up with that guy.
Yeah, he wants to rebuild the city and make it better, and because he's lived there all his life, it's like, okay, cool, that's great, you know. And I think it's an opportunity, but it's too early in my what I'm trying to do for me to do that kind of thing. I need to wholesale
yeah,
a bunch of houses. And
yeah,
we
got to get a deal to the closing table. So
right, I can cherry pick stuff for future things in the future. I mean, I'm not in a position to be getting into long-term investments in that particular area. I may be in the future,
right,
but that's not what I want to do. So
absolutely. So you hang on to the contact.
That's what I told them, but I'm not real sure where we're at with any of it. It sounds like one of the ones, which is actually going to be a killer deal because it needs very little rehab to be rent ready,
yep,
and I'm getting it really cheap. So I think if I can start out with a really killer deal and get a bunch of buyers saying, "Hey, he's got some sweet deals," and I'm off to the races. I have a list of about 30 people that I know are looking. I don't know if they're looking in that area, but I'm going to send them out an email. I had a quick question. What's the best way to do that? I was going to do it whereas I email it to myself and then I put everybody else as a BCC. But I heard that if you put too many in there at one time,
blast it from FreedomSoft. Yeah, you just put them all into a buyer group.
Okay.
You have their phone number, even better, because you can shoot them a text message and an email.
Right.
And then you don't have to BCC any of it. You just do a broadcast email, select that group, and it'll shoot it to each one of them. And then be ready to follow up with a phone call. I mean, these first couple deals, especially like we've been talking, when you don't have a relationship with the buyers yet, and they, you know, they're trying to get a feel for who's Tom, what does he bring to the table, what kind of deals, are they legit, that kind of thing. Because a lot of people call themselves wholesaler, right? So
right,
get the info out there. I like text message first, email second, and then plan on following up with a phone call to talk this thing through. So
right. I mean, I just have their emails. I don't have their phone number.
If you just have email, then that's what you go with.
And I have phone numbers for about four people that I think may be interested. Those are the first people I'm going to call. I'm going to say, here it is. Here's the deal.
Here's what you do, Tom. If you just have email, send that email and dangle a little carrot and get them to call you so you have their number, right? Say, I've got a smoking deal in this zip code. This thing will move quick. Here are some of the numbers on it. You don't have to give address. You don't have to give any of that. You know, this thing is first come, first serve. Call me immediately at this number. You know, call or shoot me a text and see if you can get some reply.
Right, and I have their phone numbers.
Yep, because now you're starting to collect numbers. You can have a conversation.
Gotcha, okay.
Sell the deal to them, so.
So I just got to tighten up the numbers on the deal that I had that I was telling you about and send it out. I'll be doing that tonight and tomorrow. My niece just came into town, so I imagine tonight won't be so as productive as I wanted it to be.
Tom, I'm still with you. You got to post an ad and get a salesperson. Any progress on that front?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
You're a busy guy, and so that's great. Everybody's busy, and you're no different. And you've got to have somebody consistently calling. I've got an idea on this. I'll shoot you an email outside of office hours here, but chewing on something. As soon as you turn that on, you're not going to be talking to one seller who's going to ho-hum about a couple deals,
right?
Right? You'll have five or six or seven options on the table, and if somebody ho-hums, then so what?
Well, I haven't
ready,
had a, I haven't had a truly motivated seller.
Well, it sounds like
you have
one party on this deal that's really motivated.
Yeah, he's motivated, but he's not desperate. I mean, he wants to be selling it. He wants to get it out of there. You know, and I put a 60-day clause in there, and he's like, Is there any way you could just buy it as is? I said, you know, the deal, I have a feeling we'll be closing pretty quickly, but he knows what I'm doing. He knows I'm wholesaling it. I said, we're going to try to move it as fast as I can. But
move it back to 30.
Oh, he's fine. He's fine leaving it like that. He's just
good.
Darn, I want my money, but he's on board totally. He's not gonna not sign it. He's just like, do you really think it's gonna take that long? I said, I don't think it's gonna take more than a week or two. You know, we'll see. I mean, damn, I want this thing closed too. So we'll get that going. So, I had a question on the FreedomSoft. Thing that says how to wholesale or whatever, all those, you know, there's so much info on that you guys give. I was looking at some of that stuff and some of the things about, you know, looking at zip codes for buyers and activity and stuff like that is some of the stuff that I was stumbling around without knowing that info was there. I mean, it's kind of like dialing in where the most activity is and which zip code and who's buying what, so you can nail down which zip codes you really concentrate on. Because, I mean, I started on a zip code that doesn't seem like it's, you know, certainly not.
Well, that's why we talk about the list source list. I was just talking about you can map the FreedomSoft buyers and get an idea through those maps, but really nothing trumps the list source absentee owner list and then map it. That's the activity, whether you pull the last 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, you know, you'll see those pockets that come alive where there are a ton of pins.
Well, isn't it the cash buyer list, if you can get it from the MLS, isn't that a better list? Because those, not only absentee owner, I'm not talking about sellers, I'm talking about buyers list.
Right. Either way, absentee owned, if you've got somebody that paid cash, let's say I'm your buyer and I'm using hard money or private money, you could have the all cash transactions. That would be good, but I could be a legit buyer with a private lender and it's still financed, and that note could show up at the closing like I have a mortgage on it, which it would, but you still want to know about me.
Right. Yeah, good point.
So, yeah, cash, I mean, yeah, cash buyer is great, but you still want the private and hard money lenders in that list.
Gotcha.
If you want as many as possible. So, yep.
That's a good point. Okay, cool. Yep. All right, man. This is gonna change in the next couple of weeks. Full court.
Absolutely.
Pressure.
Yeah, stay the course.
All right.
Absolutely.
You've got some stuff
knocking on the door, and what you need now is, instead of talking to one buyer, right, you need to be talking to five or six. And then it starts to change everything because, you know, if they want to sell, great. If they don't, at some point they probably call you back.
Right.
But, you know, they're one of a handful of people that you're always talking to. That's who you want to
get. Yeah, right now, if that doesn't work, then I'm all of a sudden, like, flummoxed. And so if I just have so many, it'd be like, okay, next.
You know what it does, too, is it changes your tone, right? We're in sales here, and you don't want to be desperate. I'm not saying that anybody sounds desperate when you're on the phone, but when that person is one of 10 deals that you're working, you just kind of have this attitude like, hey, great, you told me you were really motivated. It sounds like maybe that's changed. You know, call me when you're ready to sell. I'll help you out.
Right.
And then you just kind of have this, hey, I've got things to do. And that's an advantage. That's an advantage when you're
big
on the
time.
Phone and when you're
in
sales. Because then it's this, I can help you out if you want, but I really don't need your business. So either tell me you're ready to go or don't. I don't care either way. You know, so to get it to that point will help change things. So.
Right.
Yep. Good stuff, Tom.
All right, man. Thanks.
Yep. Who else?
Hey, Mike, this is Mark.
Mark, what's happening?
Hey, so I put an ad in, both in
yep.
Indeed and in Craigslist for
a
salesperson.
Nice. Yep.
I haven't gotten any responses yet, but I was looking at all the sales jobs available out there. It's like, oh, my gosh, there's a ton of them. So it's like I'm thinking, okay, I don't know. Maybe I need to kind of get a little creative with my wording in my ad, you know, to make it more attractable, I guess. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, I don't. Without reading it.
I just put it in Friday, so, but, you know, like I say. But there's a ton of sales jobs listed, so.
Yeah.
But
yeah, let it go a couple weekdays. For what, you know, people look on the weekend, but it's amazing how many people work, look weekday too and just have fun on the weekend. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I would guess you'll still get some stuff coming through. But if your gut says that you need to tune it up a little and make it a little sexier, then I would go ahead and just change it.
Yeah, I was kind of reading through some of the other people's, what they were saying. I thought, well, you know, that kind of makes it a little better or something. So,
tell you what.
Yeah, I think I'll go
yeah.
do that.
R&D, right? Rob and duplicate. Clearly don't plagiarize, but a great way to post an ad, if you've never done it, is just go read a couple until you find one that resonates. And that, you know, they're working off a little bit of a script. You know, grab that one. Obviously change all the wording, but write some with a similar feel. You don't have to start from scratch. I mean, there's a formula for writing job ads, so find one you like and use it as a guide.
Right. Okay. I'll give it a couple more days, but then the thing about it is it's like Thursday I'm leaving town to go to my 40th class reunion, and then the weekend we're hitting my property up in Wyoming to go see the eclipse on Monday. And so it's like I'm going to be out of town a lot.
You got to get your eclipse glasses.
Well, definitely got them. But
that's funny. Yeah, I've heard all about it. What's the deal? It's on Monday?
Yeah, it's on Monday.
Okay.
And
what time of day does this happen?
No, it starts like at 10:24 in the morning.
Oh, no kidding. So it's going to look weird on Monday. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, even down here in Denver, you're going to get partial darkness.
Yeah, crazy.
80%.
Is it 80?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but where my property is, I'm going to be 6 miles from the very center of where the eclipse passes through. So
you couldn't have planned that any better.
Well, yeah, me and Mommy Nature got that together, didn't we?
Yeah, you did. That's funny. Cool.
Right. Well, anyway, that's where I'm at. I'll see what happens, and before I leave, if I don't get any more,
if you want to tune it up, see if you can get see if you can make some progress on this. You know, maybe you need to edit it a little bit, get some replies. You know, this can move quick. So typically jump on the phone, interview or two, maybe get somebody on a disc test while you're out. But yeah, let's not lose all of this week and into, Monday's eclipse and then Tuesday and then Wednesday.
Right.
And nothing moves. So if you have to step on it a little bit here over the next couple of days, let's do that.
Yeah. Will do. Okay. Well,
is the one gal still calling on the weekends for you, or is she out?
She did a little bit on Saturday, but didn't get much luck there. You know, so that's another reason. It's like, okay, people are probably out and about and everything else.
Yeah. Yep. Here's the deal. She doesn't need it. Doesn't need the income. You find somebody that has to have it, needs a deal to show up. The intensity will change. That's what you're looking for.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Hey, then I got a question on the vacant house app.
Yeah.
When it says that they're not an absentee owner, what does that mean? That they live there? That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, kind of weird on a vacant house, right? Here's
yeah.
the thing about that, and this is why bird dogs trump the Postal Service. However the Postal Service is tracking it, right? Like mail stacks up, can't deliver it anymore, starting to look vacant, that kind of thing. It's going to hit their vacant list. Who knows what's going on? People forgot to transfer their mail, right? They're looking at these certain signs that it is vacant, but they're basing it off mail and delivery and backups and however they do that. So, yeah, when it says non-absentee, kind of an interesting one, right? you've got a certified vacant house, and it's owner-occupied, according to the post office. So that's just the data that's coming out of the post office. That's why it's great, right? Access it, use whatever's there, but it's bird dogs first, because they're going to actually go out. They're looking for, obviously, boarded up windows, uncut grass, houses in shambles. Clearly nobody's living there unless they're squatters. And that's just a more reliable system than what the post office is doing. So that's where we've been talking, use it in addition to. But, you know, if you've got your bird dogs working and those vacant leads are coming in and you want to add some of that data feed in there and just have it skip traced, and, you know, they're worth phone calls, but make sure it's in addition to and not the primary.
Yeah, because one thing I was doing, I was comparing, you know, one of my zip codes to what this says. And, there's a lot of the ones I don't have. There's a couple of them, I do have them, but there's a lot of them I don't have that the Postal Service does.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, make sure you watch them, some of those, too,
because
there will be recent sold dates on some of those as well. So don't just run your search, grab the list, move it over to leads, and start skip tracing. You know, glance at them real quick and see what's going on, because some of those, even though they're vacant, there was a transfer, a sale date recently where an investor most likely already picked it up.
Right, yeah, looking at this one, I'm just looking at it, it says last sale date 6/5/2017, so that's probably not vacant anymore.
not likely. There's either somebody in there or it's under construction or...
Right.
Yep. Yeah, the bird dogs, it's still the way to go. They're
going
to find, you know, there's going to be some overlap, but they're going to find stuff that is more reliably vacant because they're getting a visual look at it, right? And they'll also have some stuff that the post office doesn't know about yet. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
I'll keep working
this is
on
one
the
of
sales
the, absolutely. Yeah, this is one of those tools that, you know, we come out of the gate, make vacants your primary thing, get in the middle of deals, and then obviously moving forward, right, you'll add in some direct mail. You'll start texting some landlords, you know, using the vacant list that comes out of there, right? It'll be, you know, you're not going to grab your leads all from one basket, but when we're just going from, you know, start the program to let's get in the middle of transactions, stay focused on the bird dog vacants.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, just as an FYI, you know, Rob's running sales team in a couple different markets. They're just running bird dogs. I mean, he plugged that feature into FreedomSoft, and he's just running bird dogs for the vacants. So it's not that it's not good. It's a great data feed, but nothing trumps eyeballs looking at the house saying, yeah, I think this thing's vacant, giving you the address. What was cool about it and really eye-opening to me is I think I told you guys last week that I looked up Denver, and there are over 2,000 in, you know, the shortest days on market city in the country. There are over 2,000 houses that the post office says are vacant. So, you know, how accurate is that number? Not sure, but that's really – I was really encouraged by it to say, hey, you know, even a city like Denver that's super trendy, really, really low inventory, has over 2,000. So what happens when you go to one of these markets, you know, with a better P ratio and a better price point? I mean, there are just going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of vacants. So, you know, from time to time, maybe, you know, every 2 or 3 months, I get a question from a student that says, what if my vacants run out? And, you know, the answer is always it's possible, but it's not likely, and it won't happen for a while, right? Because there are new vacants coming on the market. You can launch easily into other markets, that kind of thing. But you can work vacants depending on your city for quite a while. So.
Right.
Yeah, Mark. Let's make it happen before this total eclipse of the heart on Monday.
Okay.
Are you gonna play that song when it happens?
No, probably Dark Side of the Moon.
Hey, nice. Little Floyd. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see more Pink Floyd than totally. What is that, Pat? I'm getting sidetracked here. Who has a question? Or not?
Yeah, there you go.
I got one. I'll go.
Fire.
Hey, man. What's up?
What's up in Norland?
Nolans.
That's right.
Nola, man. We're kicking it. It's been kind of a rough patch with a I really have just ended up with one bird dog out of 9 or 10, man. It's crazy, but, man, the guy's killing it.
That's all you need?
That's he sent 66 today from Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah, and we just ditched Tom Snap, man, and he's sending a Dropbox file.
Yep.
And I'm uploading them. But the initial issue was misidentifying the house numbers.
Yeah.
And early on, those were massive. And I spent a lot of time doing some of the files, but I got my girl on it now and told her how to do it. And what we can identify quickly, he's getting a spreadsheet to verify. So.
Cool.
Because I'm paying him well. I've paid him. He started on the 8th, and I've paid him over $600 already. So.
Holy smokes. How many do you have down there?
Dude, I got 198 right now as we speak.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome. How many are
that's
skipped
why I'm trying to. I'm trying to get her off of this busy work so she can
You need
to start making calls.
Yep. If she's good on the phone, you got to have somebody else take over the research, obviously.
Well, I'm going to talk to her about it. Her husband does a lot of it. I think I'm going to get her to see if he can help us because the 4 hours, she's just, you know, I've got to get somebody on the phone. But in addition
Absolutely.
To that, I love where it's going, man. I'm very excited. And that is only in a zip code and a half, Mike. Can you believe
that's
that?
That's crazy. That's awesome.
A zip code and a half.
And there's
houses,
a lot of activity there?
Yeah, man. I mean, in some
it.
Of these areas, these houses that I told you they call them doubles, they're I mean, they're selling in the threes, mid to high threes, and you just
crazy.
Look at them and you just say, I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I mean,
I love it.
How do you sell a house that's a duplex for that much money?
Well, $150 a side, and then how big are they on each side?
A lot of them are 3-2s. So.
Yeah. What, 12, 1,300 square feet?
Yeah. But the bad thing about
sweet
the
little rental, yeah.
But that's a lot of the return is going to suck if you're using it as a rental. I think they flip them whole, and I think families just use them. I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. But
soon. You got to get obviously the research in place, get your girl on the phone, and then you start meeting buyers down there as fast as you can.
Yeah, I am, but I've got to – what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get a deal right now because, you know, that one deal I landed a month ago is dried up, dude. So, and I told my boy, my bird dog, to kind of hold off for a little bit because he said, I can't believe you've already paid me that much. I said, man, I can't believe it.
You weren't kidding.
I don't want to stop him, but he's we've already got a plan and we're gonna build him into the boots on the ground guy. So
nice, cool.
But in addition to that, we found 7 doubles in a row, all built alike, look alike, and there is no record of the street addresses in the tax assessor's office.
Wow.
You cannot locate them on Google Maps by those street addresses that are actually on the house.
Huh.
Yeah, it's weird, man. I don't understand. So I sent that to my wholesaling partner down there. And
He kind of knows the lay of the land a little bit.
Well, yeah, but he can't figure it out either. So he's had to send it to a title company to see if they can help us.
Yeah, title of the county. Interesting. They got washed away in the flood, the records.
I don't know, but there's another one kind of like that too. But and he's working another deal. I can't find the owner that's a double, that's a good flip. That he's trying to find the owners. We've looked up all the numbers. We've made all the calls. So I got him on that too. So just to try to get something you know, anything, any way at all to get
something
going.
Yep.
And then I've got another house I looked at yesterday with a JV guy here. It's a HUD home, and he has they counted just a few hundred more than ours, so we're accepting that. So,
John, how many vacants are in where you're at? There have got to be thousands. No?
Yes, there are lots. I haven't purchased it yet, so I can't do that right this second. But
there have got to be loads of them, I would think.
In Birmingham?
And there are going to be – what's the population of Birmingham?
The MSA is about 1-2.
There's got to be tons of activity there. How many absentees in the last 12 months? Do you know off the top of your head? Transactions?
Mm-mm.
Not sure?
No.
Yeah, I would think it's jumping down there.
But,
paint me
in
Birmingham.
Yeah, man, there's lots of paint me in Birmingham tonight. So,
country song.
That, and I got a couple of more leads I'm working here, but yeah, I need more here too. There's I need to get on a program.
How much time does she have on the phones making calls a day? Just 4 hours? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and it's not all really not all that. Some a lot of times she's doing some research. So
I really got
to get somebody else on board.
You do. Maybe she just stays on the research side. I mean, she already knows your process. If she can fill in on calls from time to time, great. But you get somebody on the phone hitting these leads, and this thing's gonna ramp. You know, we gotta have 10 deals under contract here.
Yeah, I know.
ASAP, because you've got
she's a bulldog though, man. She's quick.
Well, then you have to get her out of the research and get her, say, hey, I need four to 5 hours a day from you on the phone. So you got to make that happen and drive. If this is her skill set, then she either commits to it or she doesn't. But the business needs somebody on the phone at least 4 hours a day because you have the leads there to do it.
So she can either do
what the business needs or find somebody else. And it's not I know she's great and I know you want to take care of her, but this is where things will change. When you have that on the, you know, when you have somebody, when you have consistent daily effort, it won't take very long, and you'll be in the middle of 5, 6, 7, 8 contracts.
Yeah, and I've got to get out of the business. Like, I spent a lot of time with this
right.
Bird
well,
dog
up,
thing.
Up front, you can keep an eye on leads, make sure you're feeding the salesperson, whoever that is, and then
feed the pig.
Be full-time
feed the pig,
running.
As they say.
Yeah, you can be full-time running. Dispositions because you already have buyers in Birmingham. You know,
yeah,
a big wholesaler in New Orleans while you're, you know, you can go full time there and then eventually step somebody in to that role and get out even one more notch. But you've got to you've got to be in the middle of 6 to 10 contracts here in the next.
Yeah, I got to because it's killing me, man. That's why I need to get at least 2 to 5 going right now so I can launch the Bird Dog program here in Birmingham.
Right.
I really need to do that. So.
Yep. Yeah, because there's just got to be boatloads in your backyard there, I would guess.
Yeah, it's kind of peculiar, but you know, I know the market real well, so that my direction will be spot on, you know. So.
All right. Either
it only took me when I did it myself. You know, I got to over 250 in, like, I don't know, maybe 9 days.
Right.
You can turn it on quick. And that was, you know, not doing it, you know, full-fledged. But
You've got to either get the bulldog to commit to this many hours a day or find somebody who can. Those are the two options.
I still have come up with a plan, man. She's hungry. She's hungry, I'm telling you. So. Because
you're putting her hubby on research. She's going full. Sounds like might be the plan, but yeah, have that ironed out by tomorrow.
That's possible. Yeah.
Because I mean, she's going to make more too. So get her in on this. Everybody wins. And
okay, she's going to make more because
the thing about
because she'll be working more hours and her husband will get paid.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wins when this goes. And then I don't know if you plan to give her a bump on a closing or whatever the deal is, but as soon as people see what they can make, you know, she'll say, hey, can I, you know, ask you if she can start working more? And you'll say, heck yeah.
So has anybody had experience doing that with a VA in the Philippines?
What's I think you're the only one that off the top of my head that I know of.
Hmm. Yeah, but she's got to get the closing instead of set up. So, you know, right now she's setting the plate. So.
She's setting the calls for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you got to give her a number. Say, I need to be talking to 4 people a week, 5 people a week. You got to find one a day for me. And this is just, it is what it is. Let's make it happen. Yep. So put a...
I'm flopping around like a fish out of water right now, man, so...
Put a target out there.
Yeah.
No more flopping.
Well, I'm excited, you know, but like in New Orleans has taken all my time over the last week and a half, and it doesn't need to be. But I got something in place now, so the 200 leads is plenty to work on. So.
It is. Yeah, it's a great, I mean, there are deals in there, obviously, so.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt.
Sir.
So.
Yeah, John, you want to get to the place where you need, even if this gal goes, you know, relatively full-time to full-time on the phone, you got to get to the place where you say, hey, I need somebody else. I have leads that aren't being worked. We got to get you there.
Right.
So, all right?
Right. Sounds good to me.
Good stuff.
All right, man.
Get ready for that eclipse on Monday. It's going to be epic.
Oh man, I've got to go vote. I got to go vote for my senator tomorrow. You know,
Birmingham is only 3 miles from the epicenter.
Wow, is it really?
No,
it's Nashville, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's Nashville.
Mark said he's 6 miles in Wyoming, so I was just making a geography joke, see if anybody got it. But this group isn't there yet with geography.
I think Nashville's spot on is what I heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, that's how I met my wife. I said, hey, are you from Nashville? And she said, no, why? And I said, because you're the only 10 I see. And then it was, I mean, we were married like 2 hours later. She tells the story slightly different.
Oh,
that's the accurate version.
Yeah, okay, Mike. I hear you. Hey, there was a meteor shower supposedly the other night. I missed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's not tonight yet.
The other night.
It was Saturday.
Saturday.
We're just full of cloud cover in Denver, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, here too.
Wouldn't have mattered. All right, we're sidetracked. I'm reeling us in. Who else? Who's up?
All right, Tennessee, Ernie Ford.
You got Darren on the line.
Darren, what's happening? Where were
what's
you last
up?
Week?
Oh,
tell me you have some buyers on with earnest money submitted.
We're trying. We finally got access to Lexus.
Okay.
We've got 1,400 absentee records to get through, so we're going to skip trace some tonight.
Okay.
Mark's going to even skip trace some tonight, like at least 20, so that he's got something to work with tomorrow. We've got about buyers in our buyers list, but nothing yet. You know, nothing's linking up. We do have a couple showings. That guy from New York City is coming back into town again a week from today to look.
Yeah, how did that
ours.
Go? Round one.
He said his schedule got backed up and he never got there, but he's coming back.
Oh, he never
in
made
weeks.
It.
Yeah, so we're gonna get him back there. And then
so here's what I want you to do too. Go into Freedom Soft.
Yep.
Go back 24 months, cash buyer tool under the marketing tab.
Did it.
Go back 24 months because you can change it. If you hit advanced search, you can go back.
Yeah.
You know, the default's only 90 days. So go back at least 2 years and then let that sucker search, and it's going to sort them by most properties bought to fewest. And then if you were on early, it's gonna give you the list view by default. But in the upper right corner, you can click map view, and then you can select those buyers, and you can see all the properties they're buying. So you know
right.
where your properties are on the map. If they have anything nearby, you're dialing that. Your guy's dialing that buyer.
Right, right, right.
And
for
just
some
go
reason,
through. Go through the list.
Yeah, for some reason, when I run that, even if I go back 5 years, I get 1,400 leads. But none of them, surprisingly, none of them have bought more than one or two properties. I'm not getting any at the top of the list.
Yeah, that
are, oh,
that doesn't
sound
seven. Right. What are you
exactly.
What are you putting in? City or county?
The county.
Change it to city and see what happens.
Change it to city. Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, when you this is one of those things. You know, we've had this talk a few times. You guys, if you go and pull data on something and you think, man, that doesn't sound right, change something about it. So I think that'll give you a different result, Darren. I can't guarantee it, but go to city, because then when it's pulling public records, the city is what gets tied to the property.
Gotcha.
And so maybe, you know, I'm just saying, you know, you get a result that says, ah, that doesn't sound right. Let me try something else. So if you're trying county, try city. If you're trying city, try county. Do both and see what happens.
Got it.
Because there's no way the biggest buyers in Pittsburgh have bought two in the last 2 years. No chance.
That's right. It just doesn't seem right. So we've been ignoring
not.
That. You know?
Yep. Yep.
Tri-City.
Are you online right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I was going to say, if I was sitting on my computer,
right.
I'd
yeah.
punch it in quick.
Maybe before the end of the call, I can jump on my computer and try it out.
If somebody's in FreedomSoft, go to Cash Buyers. Type in Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania, go back 24 to 36 months and then let us know what you find, if anybody's online. I'd be curious.
Buyers who have purchased more than two or three properties in the last whatever your
well, it'll
is.
Yeah, it'll sort them by most bought to fewest.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you I remember I ran Houston a few weeks ago just for giggles, and there was a I think I went back 24 months, and there was a buyer that had bought 360 or something like that.
Whoa.
I would think Pittsburgh has a
powerhouse.
Has a,
I'm looking
a couple
for that
heavyweight
powerhouse.
Buyers.
I'm looking for that guy.
Yeah. It was a company out of Vegas.
Yeah.
Buying up Houston. Anyway.
Mike, I just went in to Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, and it says no cash buyers.
It says what?
No cash buyers.
Click on the advanced search button and go and change your time frame to the last 36 months.
Well, I did it for the last 5 years, and the biggest one I got was five in 2009. And there's another four, and two, and three, and a three.
Man, that is peculiar. You know what, though? And Pittsburgh is this little goofball county with data for whatever reason. I'm trying to think how else let me chew on that one. I'm trying to think how else we could maybe bypass that.
Even when you go to ListSource, it's still the same crappy data, so it's you know, crap in, crap out.
Yeah, it's not a non-disclosure state as far as I know, but hard to get data out of that county right there. What is it, Allegheny County?
Yep.
Write the mayor, Darren. Tell them to get their act together over there.
Sure.
We can pull data anywhere else USA except for Allegheny County.
Well, so. I changed that to 3 to 5 years, and now I've got one in 2014, sold 14, or bought 14, another one in 2013, bought 13. So, yeah, there's some people buying.
Yeah, I would think you'd have a couple north of 100. Interesting. I'll have to play around with
it. I tested it also because I know myself. I think I own about 15 properties in Lakewood right now alone here in Ohio, and I'm not even on the list. It doesn't even pull my company up, and I bought 15 properties there. So something's kind of something's weird.
It's something with the data coming out of there, and we, you know, it's come up more than once. We know the activity is there. So,
but were you a cash buyer?
Oh yeah, I bring my briefcase to the table.
he shows up with the briefcase handcuffed to his right arm.
I do the old fashioned way with
that metal briefcase.
$100 bills.
Yep, mafia style. That's great.
But So a couple other things real quick.
You said 3 to 5 years?
Yeah.
There's 1,400.
Yeah, but
right,
what I get. What is the top buyer bought? How many properties?
14.
Yeah,
see. Okay. Something up with their data.
Yeah, I'll switch to Pittsburgh versus the county and try to get some better results.
Yeah,
but,
see what happens. Hey, also go to the surrounding counties and pull those as well, because if somebody's buying suburbs, they'll most likely buy city, not always, but and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yep.
So,
hey, if that deters people from getting started there, that's a good thing, because
right.
Persistence will just – you'll just meet the players in town and have your guy have your dispositions guy call title companies too and say, hey, I'm looking for if you haven't called property managers, I'm assuming you have, but they can call title closers and say, hey, I'm a wholesaler in town. Do you work with investors much? And just tell them, I'm trying to track down investors who are actively buying. Ask if they can connect you. If they can't, say, I get it. They're your client. How about if I give you my contact info and you have them contact me? Would you be willing to send an email quick? We'll all win here.
Yeah, I'll give
scenario.
Them title work, too, on every deal that they bring me a buyer for.
Yeah, that's the thing is, just have your dispositions guy create the win-win. Dogfight. Somebody's at Michael Vick's house.
So I've got some other different questions, though.
Yeah.
So when we've got a property that there's a verbal out on, and then what I did was I went into the workflow to see if I can set up some tasks so that when Sawyer sets it to verbal offer accepted, I know that I need to get in the dot loop, create the contract real quick, and send it out. And
yep.
then when I get it back signed in dot loop, I want to change the status real quick to under contract marketing as wholesale.
Yep.
So that it would send Mark a message that says, hey, we got another one for you to sell. And
yep.
So, but what we've been doing, though, is for some reason we've been converting it right after we get it under contract. We just convert it to a property. And I'm not sure. And I think the reason why we've been doing that is because Mark said we had to have it as a property in order to pull it into the website. And I'm not sure if that's true.
Not anymore. No, you can go to your form, or you can create a list with the new websites, and you call that list, Cleveland Wholesale Deals, Pittsburgh Wholesale Deals. Oh, you know what? He's right. For you to just be able to click on the address, it does have to be a property.
Gotcha.
But I don't, and I'm not looking at it. Properties have statuses. Am I off on that?
Well, no, properties, I think, do have statuses too. I just wanted to make sure I was following the right, keeping it as a lead until we have it under contract. And then I thought to myself, I was like, really, the only time we should convert it to a property is when we're going to buy it ourselves and we want to further do something to that property.
Well, properties are the way we do it. You can do it however you want, whatever you say, hey, this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah,
we typically convert them at contract when they're under contract because it's no longer a lead. Now we have a controlling interest in it. That's typically how we do it. Shoot me an email on that one, Darren. I'll go in and test something tomorrow when I have a minute.
The other thing that's really odd is, so once we convert it to a property, it also does not show up in the lead anymore. The lead campaign, it shows up as a property. I don't know if it deletes it or if it just,
it doesn't. It's still tied to that campaign. So when you click it to close, assuming you have that little profit section filled out, it'll tie that amount of money back to that campaign. So they're still connected.
You just view it from a different area.
So when I click on the campaign, though, I don't see that lead anymore, even in the status under contract marketing at wholesale. I don't see that
right.
lead there anymore at all. It's gone.
Right, because it's been moved over to the properties tab. It's tied back to it for accounting purposes to track.
Okay. So then yep. I may have found another bug then, because when I have a huge campaign with a lot of leads in it, I break it off into smaller chunks and I create new campaigns, and I give my access to my virtual assistants in chunks of like 50 or 100.
Yep.
And so when Sawyer is going into those smaller campaigns and working the leads.
Yep.
If he sets the statuses or make changes, it shows up in the big campaign itself. But when he converts it to a property, it's showing up as a converted to property in the smaller campaign. But it's not giving me my total converted to properties in my big campaign, which is where I want to be able to track, hey, I had 500 leads and I got 5 or 10 properties out of the 500 leads. It's throwing some into the smaller ones and some into the bigger ones. And does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
So yeah, create one campaign and put like 100 records in it, and then take two leads and replicate it to another campaign. And
yeah. Move it to a different one. And then convert
one.
Convert the lead to a property from the smaller campaign?
Or wherever, and just see based on – it shouldn't matter which one he's in. If he converts it to a property and he's in the smaller campaign, it should roll up to the larger campaign and say, hey, someone got a property here, and because that's where I want to track the metrics, is at the top level, which is the whole zip code, not just each individual person, which would be nice if you had both, like – here's the individual person. Here's how many properties they converted out of their 50 leads. They got 2 properties. But out of all my salespeople, if I look at the top campaign, I should be able to see that I got 10 properties for all leads.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm tracking with that. If I have any questions, I'll reach out to you.
Got it. Probably not something everybody on the line cares to even know at this point, but.
No worries. Yeah, talking.
Well, I'm on a need to know basis.
You're
going to
need to know, buddy, because you're going to have 20 under contract in a minute.
Yeah, but I don't like all that breaking down and stuff, man. I ought to have enough trouble, man, for that stuff. So.
Well, it's not a problem when you're in one market, but when you've got 3 markets going and you don't know what the hell's going on and money going out the window and you got leads being paid for and not knowing what your conversion is and not knowing.
My goal is to be there real soon. So.
Yeah,
sure. I believe you.
Yeah, Darren, I'll check that out.
I don't think I really have any other questions, honestly. We've got to stay heavy on the phones and make it happen.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we were talking week and a half ago. You got to tell your dispositions guy that he has to be chatting to 20 people a day.
Right.
I mean, find them. Figure it out.
Right.
Keep turning over rocks. But, yeah, you got to be calling everybody. Any traction out of that Facebook group? Any private messages?
I mean, you got like 15 leads or something out of it, but no real buyers yet.
Yeah. Have you put an ad in the local Craigslist that says you have properties?
Oh, yeah.
Buyers, where you at? Any response?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. And I'm making a checklist so that every time we get a property under contract, we're doing the same, the same steps, the same task, the same Craigslist ad, the same Facebook post, the same text message, email.
Hey, do a Google search for biggest real estate investors in Pittsburgh. Do a Google search for Pittsburgh landlords with over 100 properties. Just see what comes up. Sometimes either a blog site or a news article, they'll post about somebody you know, so-and-so has been a landlord for whatever, and they're just doing a story on them. You know, just start throwing some interesting keywords on that. See if you can find the whales in town. You just never know what'll come up. I mean,
right?
It's a digital world, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, some little article that somebody wrote, and they thought, hey, this is interesting. You know, this person's been they've been a landlord in Pittsburgh for 25 plus years, and you know, been through the crash and yada yada yada, whatever. And they just write some article about it. And they just, you know, it comes out. Hey, meet Joe Smith.
Love it.
So you just never know. Yeah, it's all about the buyers. With where you're at.
If nobody else can find them, and we can keep digging, eventually we're going to find them. And
yeah, they're there.
It'll be like a playground then.
The transactions are there, so they're buying for sure.
Right.
For sure. Is there a big RIA in Pittsburgh?
Yes, there is. And I know someone that belongs to it that said she'd be willing to take our properties to the RIA group. And like, so
when do they meet?
I'm wondering what the best way is, though. Is it print up a card with our website address on it so they can see the properties, or is it have her go in there with printed 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper with them on there? Or
yeah, probably both. And
the most slick way.
Both and, I would think. Your contact info. When do they meet? Is that something you need to prep right away?
You know what? I haven't reached out to her yet. I got to call her. That's a good point.
Yeah, and then ask her who runs the RIA.
Yeah.
You should be able to find them online, but you want to talk to that person. And then ask how long she's been going to it, and who are the top buyers that show up there?
Right.
Who are the players in town? Yeah, you just got
to
ask everybody that question. What's that?
And have her just give me their info instead of vice versa. The ball's in court if I have their information.
Absolutely. Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, you ask enough people and you'll get the names. And then what about other wholesalers in town? Are you on?
Well, I mean, they're going to hold their big buyers tight, I would imagine. Like, are they going to want to?
No, the thing. Yeah, you're not looking for them. You want to get on their site to see what they're moving, and then hopefully they haven't deleted all the house addresses on the deals that they've sold. So go look those up in public record. See who bought them. Skip trace the buyer.
So find out who the other wholesalers are selling to.
Yeah, just go. If they leave the address on their website, go look those addresses up and
Got
see
it.
Who bought it.
That's probably one of the reasons why no one will give you an address, is because A, they don't want you tracking down the seller, and B, I thought about that too. I was like, you know what? If I was an investor and I was heavily buying from wholesalers, and I knew that these guys only get 30 or 60 days, and then if I see a property hasn't moved, I know I can just call the seller up directly because he's fed up with the wholesaler not moving his property, and I could probably just buy it right from them.
You could. And if you track those, right, because at some point the wholesaler is going to release the address. Once it's sold or under contract, a lot of times they'll pull the house number. But if you're on their list, you can track those. Now, the county there seems to be – this isn't quite as effective in that county because they take so long to record things. But in a normal city, you could have a VA keep tabs on those and look them up. You know, you wouldn't find the buyer for maybe 30 to 60 days, but eventually you would.
Got it.
So.
Yeah, I think we'll get there quicker. I think we'll be able to find them quicker than waiting all that time.
Yeah, that county, for whatever reason, is that's about the slowest one I've come across. So, congratulations.
All right. That's all I got for
cool.
Right now.
Yeah, good. Who else?
Thanks, everyone.
Hey, Mike, I got a quick question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Did you see my email I sent? About the template?
Yeah, the template you deleted? Yeah. I shot a note off to see if it could be recovered. I'm assuming it can. Let me see if I have a reply.
Okay. I mean, I'll take the blank thing, but, you know, I already got mine set up. So.
Steve said he recovered the template, so make sure it's in
cool.
there.
Awesome. He recovered it.
Hey. Yep.
Man, I can't believe that. I hit the X by mistake.
Yep. Yes, you did.
Hey, good job, Steve. Thank you.
Steve is the man.
He is the man.
Yeah, Steve wrote FreedomSoft for the original owners. He's still on our team, which is a really cool thing because.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, Steve, how do you make it do this? And he goes, oh, yeah, we just change this and implement this. And, I mean, talk about somebody that knows it from the side of things.
I wish I was fluid with it, but,
yeah.
You know, I got to pay somebody, but that's okay.
He knows it inside and out, clearly.
Well, I just figured out, on it, for example, on this letter.
Yeah.
You know. I have a FreedomSoft number on mine, and I don't need that on there because it's just going to create a new lead when they call in. And, you know me and duplicate leads don't get along.
You're about to, though.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that right? I mean, if I have a FreedomSoft number, it's just going to...
It'll create, yeah.
Create another lead, and I don't really need that.
Well, if it recognizes... If the number that calls in is already in the system, it'll just add to the communication log. If it's not, it'll create a new lead.
Yeah, well, chances are not because we're using Google Voice initially most of the time. Anyway,
right.
So.
Right. Yeah, it'll create a duplicate.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah, man, thanks. Appreciate that.
Sure.
And just to let you know, I'm waiting to have the conversation here in a minute. So.
What conversation?
With my VA about ramping up.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so clearly she works U.S. business hours, right?
Yeah, she works at her night all the time.
Yep.
Yes, because she's working for another gal in Kansas City, and that's kind of part of it, too. I've been with her for 6 years, so.
Right.
It may be hard to get more time out of it.
It could be, yeah. Wasn't she telling you that her husband is good on the phone as well?
He does the scrubbing of everything. He scrubs leads for this Kansas City woman.
So here's what you could do, John. Here's what you could do. Get somebody full-time in the States, probably in Birmingham. You can train them, work with them. Have your VA set that person. That person that's local can also be on the phone. But ideally... Right. What Rob has is Chris is the main sales guy, and now he has three setters setting him. And so they're the ones pounding through the phone line, setting up Chris. Chris calls back, knows the area, has the data, now knows the motivation, knows what rents are, and goes right to the offer. And they're working it as a team like that. So
they have people setting up the acquisitions guy.
Yeah, Chris is driving the sales team. He has three setters. He's the closer, which is pretty – they just call it a two-part close. It's pretty common in the sales world.
Right.
So three people pounding all the numbers, and then Chris is the go-to. If he's available, they say, hang on, let me get you know, Chris or Mr. So-and-so or whatever their script is on the phone real quick, and he can jump on or they transfer it or, you know, whatever the case, or he calls them right back. But you could have – if she has a 6-year standing relationship with another person, which is great. Cause play this how you want, but that shows that she's loyal, which is good to have her on your team, but she probably can't give you full-time effort. So if that's the case, get somebody who can put in full-time effort. Your VA who's gifted on the phone can set that person. That person can answer the set calls plus be making the outbound. And you kind of move them into a, you know, sales lead type role.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it's back to, I had quite a few applicants on my Indeed ad, you know,
you've got people to call for.
Flaked out.
Right.
But I'm not financially ready right now. That's the issue.
Yeah, but that person's paid on commission. So they're getting paid when a deal closes.
Yeah, well, I need some more Birmingham leads then, don't I? Or just hook them on to New Orleans, too?
Start them in New Orleans. Yep.
Yeah, I don't really. Why am I hesitant to say yes to that?
I don't know.
Just do it.
Because I don't feel comfortable.
Put your Nikes on and just do it.
Yeah. Well, I got to do something.
Yeah. You look real calm on the surface, but those little legs underneath the water are just sticking.
Ramp it up.
Yeah,
ramp it up. I mean, Darren, you put somebody on the phone full time, and you went in two or three weeks. What did it take, Sawyer, to figure out?
I think at the second week, I think he had two under contract, and he's been consistently putting like one to two a week under contract since then.
It just starts to snowball.
So we're up to like 10 actually signed right now, but we've got a lot more out in the field waiting to be signed and come back.
Right.
Man, my life would be sweet if I had one or two a week. Absolutely.
Right.
But, John, you're only a full-time person on the phone away from it. That's what I'm saying. It's right there.
Right.
And that, yeah. I mean, that's a great problem to have. I mean, Darren's got – he's sitting where you want to be, where you say, you know, holy crap, we have 10 contracts to move. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that creates –
Well, if they're in this market, I know I won't have any problem moving them to the right ones. So
Absolutely. Yeah, you get somebody on the
phone. Yeah, they need to be local. Most of the people that did apply were local. So.
Yeah, grab one of those people.
All right.
Tell them, you know, and tell them, hey, I need you to lead this thing. Say, I can point this in different directions. I currently have a VA. They can set you up. You can do some calling too, but, you know, they'll set. If we need more people to set you, that's great. You can be my go-to and just bring them in right at the, you know, let's go run this thing. And good, you know, good phone salespeople probably know somebody else. You know, get this thing ramped up. Get these two markets kicking. You can open number 3, 4, and 5, and then you've got a couple setters bringing it to a closer. And now all of a sudden you've got, you know, the need for a dispositions person. You start working in a leads manager / transaction coordinator. And this thing is that's the thing is it. You know, our theme has been, it's closer than it feels. That's it. I mean, if you
have
leads.
It's my time to carry something through. You know, I'm overdue.
Absolutely. So just
and
go
I'm,
find
and I'm so,
front.
I'm so, like he said, my legs are kicking like hell under the water. They are, man. My mind's going 10,000 miles an hour because I already know my next market, and this the numbers on it are very, very sweet. So
that's the thing is you get two people, or you get somebody just running the leads, and they'll start bringing the deals in, and you can focus on, you know, stay up at 10,000 feet where you need to be and just orchestrate this thing.
Instead of glued to the friggin' chair here.
Right. That's it. But, yeah, get this.
Yesterday afternoon, the guy up in Huntsville, he called me and said, hey, man, can you go look at these two houses? And you know, I've had all these hip problems. I said, man, I was feeling great yesterday. I was happy to go to the house for 3 hours. So, but, yeah. All right, man. Well,
it's right there.
I really think I need to get my leads in New Orleans organized a little bit more because what I have for Birmingham is real kind of like they're there, but, you know, I need to weed them out myself. But let me get a few more days in New Orleans, and I can hook that up.
Go through those. Start talking to people now because you want to go through a phone interview, and you want to send them a disc test because you need a driver. You need an ID.
Some of these people I've already disc tested. Is what I'm saying.
Perfect.
Yeah. So you're
right there.
You know, I mean, if they're available, who knows? But
that's what you got to find out.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
That's what you have to find out. But you find one good rainmaker like that, John, and it's. Man, it just, you'll go from.
Sound like Donkey Kong.
It is. I mean, you'll go from next thing you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks has gone by. You've got 6, 8, 10 contracts to move. And that's right where you want to be sitting. And then that's their job. Say, listen, team, you know, you're going to lead this thing. We need 10 contracts on the table at all times. So you got to tell me, is this one VA helping you set conversations? Is that enough? Do we need to find somebody else? You know, what Rob does, if two people close it and they're both ticking, they can each make 10%. But now what Chris does is he's not calling through all the phone numbers. He's just picking it up, having a conversation, going right to offer. So, you know, then you can add some incentives on top of that, but it gets, you know, all he's doing is following up with people, you know, putting numbers on the table and getting a contract out.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Mm.
So, it's, yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, well, she can initially do the Bulldogs. She's pretty good at going forward initially anyway.
You've got to get the commitment out of her that says, what time do you have available? And if you say this, I got to have you stick to it. And it's got to be consistent because somebody consistently on the phone, and she'll start setting up conversations. Because when's the last time you got on the phone with somebody she set?
Well, I think in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
You need 4 people a week.
I know it's been 2 weeks. Well, here's my sheet right here that I'm going to send you the numbers on that I didn't do Friday.
Yeah, if you haven't done your weekly update from Friday, hit it.
Yeah, it's there's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
That's the problem. So she's a bulldog, and it seems to be, right, we think it's going to work out, but then we look at reality and say, wait a minute, something here is broke. You're not on the phone having any conversation.
Well, I didn't have enough leads, really pure, really clear leads. And well, I take that back.
Well,
it hadn't been 3 weeks because she's given me about 4 or 5. Yeah, I was wrong. I didn't fill this out. And some I didn't call because they were real preppy leads. So, but still it's not where it needs to be. Just like I said,
yep.
I'm not going to – I completely, wholeheartedly agree with you.
So, let's get it there.
But some of it has been me and follow through, and that doesn't credit either if I want to go. Well, you know, I was really, really sick there for a while.
You know, that's where you got to have a system. And if you have have somebody like a salesperson that's doing it, you don't have to be there. For a while, you're going to be the dispositions person, but then you're going to hire that out too.
Right, right.
And get out of that.
Well, if I were just that right now, I mean, who can't handle that with a phone call or a text or a,
that's the thing, John, is you've got to get a system around the sales side. And get somebody driving it that's so that you tell them, we always need 5 to 10 contracts on the table. Say, you know, we're not going to bat 1,000, but you can get them sold. If they're legitimate deals, you know how to get them sold.
Right.
So.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I just think the only thing that's holding him is back is his own brain. You have to commit to this, and you have to say that you're going to do it, and you have to just do it. There is no other maybe, or I'd like to, or I'm gonna work on it, or what. It just, you have to just commit to it.
Jump off the cliff.
That's it.
Just jump off because
ready. Everybody wants to go ready, aim, fire. Everybody
fire,
wants to go ready, aim, fire, and you got to go ready, fire, aim.
Right.
And it's John. It's not easy, right?
Yeah.
A hurdle between your two ears is a legitimate hurdle.
Yeah.
But, you know, Darren's throwing it on the table, and that's it. Because, you know, we say, hey, let's go do this. And then, you know, the brain automatically goes to, yeah, but what if? And so that's just that little safety mechanism kicking in. When you're going to cross a train track, you need it to say, what if a train's coming? So it reminds you to look. If you're talking about bringing on a commissioned salesperson, you don't need it here.
Yeah,
it's just irrelevant.
It's not going to feel good. You got to just do it.
Yep.
Oh yeah, it's Well, how long did it take me to start New Orleans? About 3 or 4 weeks after.
Yeah. So and what you realized is now you're coming back saying, "Hey, I'm excited about what's going on. This is going to be no different." So, and here's the thing is now you're already talking, hey, I already know my next market, and this hurdle took a while to blow through. Now that you've overcome it, it's not even an issue. You'll just go, yeah, here's the third market we're going, and you'll launch it in no time. So this is no different.
I better have an acquisition person on board before I do that. That's for sure.
You have to. Well, John, here's the thing is what you're saying is there's nothing consistent really happening on the sales side. When you have deals under contract, you close them and get paid. So you're one system away, which is most likely a person because you don't have time. You're one system away from somebody driving the sales side. And the sooner you put that in place, the sooner you'll have multiple contracts always, because you'll just tell them, here is your job, right? You're going to get paid on commission. So the more we close, the happier you are. The more they close that, right, the happier you are.
Here's your login.
Everybody wins.
Learn it.
And you got to tell them the goal is, right, we got to, what do you want? Five. We got to have five deals always under contract. I mean, we got to be moving, having this many conversations. You know, then it goes to 10. Then it goes to 15. We were talking the other day about how do you make $1 million a year in this? Well, assume on the low end, 5,000 per deal. 20 deals closed in a 30-day stretch is $100,000, right? You've got some expenses and that kind of stuff out of there, but you have a constant 20 to 25 deals under contract. And does that sound crazy? Well, you just heard Darren say he went from 0 to 10 in 3 weeks with a full-time salesperson. So no, it's not crazy. It's right there.
Yeah.
The other thing to add, though, Mike, is that my brain wasn't ready to accept that I was going to need a dispositions person either, because I wasn't confident that we were going to have houses for him to sell yet. So I waited 3 weeks for Sawyer to get, you know, he had 200 contracts and 300 contracts. Then I started the process of looking for the disposition manager. And that's not an overnight thing. You got to go through the resume, set up the interviews, do the disc test, meet them for lunch, meet them for dinner, make sure you got the right guy. So, like, if I would have hired them both at the same time, I probably would have 10 under contract versus just 10 sitting there ready to sell, because now
it's pretty It's pretty common that, right, if you're going to move a couple, you can teach your salesperson how to do dispositions. Rob likes to keep them separate. Just depending on where you're at, you can have the same person doing that. You can pay them a commission on both sides.
Right.
You know, I mean, Rob pays up to 20 for each half. So if the sales team's killing it and the dispositions team's killing it, Rob and Brad are taking 60% because they're paying 40.
Wow.
But that, you know, that's where they want to be all day long. I mean, they're moving 3 to 5 a week. So, you know, it's not like every week they close 4 or whatever, you know, things come in waves and that's how it works, but that's where they have it moving here. And they,
well,
you know
what's really weird is,
and
I hear you, Darren, you know, it's, if you're not ready, just go ahead, man, because that's what I got to do. But these big buyers in my market here in Birmingham, you know, they all say, well, I need 10 or 15 a month, and they're having trouble finding the deals because.
John, I don't see why you can't feed them 10 deals a month in Birmingham.
They're having they don't find them. Or there's one because
they don't know how, but you do.
Yeah. There's one that's doing that many, but all the other guys, well, two of them, and they're my favorite buyers actually, and they pay more than anybody else, so.
You could move.
But the other big guys they lie when I look. It's not, you know, it's maybe 5, maybe 8, you know, but I mean, I'll take it. But
and they're asking for more.
Yeah, they're asking for more.
Feed them.
So.
Feed them.
I mean, disposition is not my issue right now. No way.
No,
it will be.
You need.
It will be.
It will be. I know, and I would like to be there, but
you need a high D salesperson driver that says I'll keep 10 contracts on the table at all time. Show me what to do. Give me a script. Give me good leads.
So throw out everything in my mind that says I don't have this ready, I don't have that ready. I'm not organized.
Chuck it.
Do it.
Chuck it. That's really Rob's advantage in business, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we're all right. Different personality types. Our strengths are right next to our weaknesses. So you know,
oh, yeah.
We're all the same.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, he and Brad are bulldozers, and it's their advantage. And that, you know, it creates, they have to be careful in certain situations, just like the rest of us, right? But when it comes to business, they're both high D. And so you put them together. I mean, they were bulldozers apart from each other, but you put them together and they just say, oh, this is in our way. Cool. Let's just go blow through it. And then they're kind of wired to, especially around real estate, which is, you know, right in their wheelhouse and comfort zone and that kind of thing. But to watch them, they just say, let's go that direction, and they just go. And so, you know, part of what, you know, what we try and convey here is that's the direction. And so, right, you just got to go. And the sooner you go, the sooner you'll look back like you are on New Orleans and say, hey, this is cool. I've got some momentum down there. So it's just about getting somebody to run this thing on the sales side. And this thing will take off. And then you're going to quickly need, like Darren said, you're going to quickly need dispositions help, which is perfect.
Yeah, okay.
And then you're going to need lead management help to feed the machine, and that's even better.
Yeah.
Because now they're, you know, two or three setters and Chris closing. That's a big machine to feed. So they hired that that college kid,
yeah,
full-time leads manager, and he's just generating thousands of leads for them because they need them.
Are they
a machine?
Is he doing most of it in Memphis right now? Just curious.
They've got a big focus on Memphis right now. Yep,
yeah.
Big push there to get it established.
Wow.
And you know, the turnkey buyers to meet them. You know, a lot of what they're doing is they're buying them, they're doing the fix up, and they've got the turnkey buyers lined up during that process, ready to go. Once the house is done, so they've added a construction.
So are those turnkey buyers are local? Are they local?
Local and out of state, yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. My big buyers here, that's what they do. But I'm a long way off from that. But it's not beyond me to do it. That's for sure.
No, you're probably not as far as you think. But what you would do is you'd maybe go down to New Orleans. Or go through your brother and, you know, find a GC contact down there. And you've got a bird dog. He could keep tabs on properties for you. Maybe he becomes bird dog / construction manager.
Well,
you know, working through you.
Man. He's
eyes on the ground.
And, yeah.
And then you've got, you know, you get some private money behind it. That's how Rob's doing it. Private money to buy it. Private money to fix it up. Sell it turnkey on the other end.
Well, my boy down there's got a hook up for that on the fix and flips. I don't know about rentals, but I'm sure he's got a program.
That starts adding in additional revenue, obviously, because now you're getting paid for the wholesale fee, right? Because the company's getting paid, and you're getting paid for construction management. Brings
right,
in another
right.
management piece, but, yeah, if that's what the buyers want, you can solve that. But, first, John, it's you're getting a salesperson on. Let the VA.
Yeah, first you get the contracts that too.
Once the cash flow kicks in, you can start doing these other pieces. So.
Yeah, because I don't want my bird dog or anybody else to stop right now, and I can't afford that because I need the leads coming in regardless. So. All right, man, I'm on it.
Good. That all changes all quick.
Right. Yes, sir. All right, man.
Changes quick. All right. Hey, we're at about 90 minutes here, so.
Yeah, I'm out of here. I got to make my call real quick. So.
Yeah, make it happen. Any other quick questions from anybody? Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, Mike, Olivia here.
Hey.
Just to follow up,
nice.
I'm sorry. Those are my dogs on the phone. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Oh,
no problem.
Horrible. But anyway, Joe, one of my favorite guys, called me back, and I told him the story, and he said he bought a property 2 years ago in the same neighborhood, a 4-2. This is a like a 2-1, a 4-2 Cape Cod for $20,000, and he had it rented in 3 days. He said he thinks that that price is, you know, he thinks $30,000 is a little high.
Okay.
So that's what I got from him.
Okay. That's one buyer.
That's one buyer. I had put it out. I only had my phone to work with, so I put it out to about five people, and he's the one that called me back.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one may or may not go at that price, and obviously, you know, tax liens on this thing. So I don't know that, you know, you may have to ask, you know, the seller, are you willing to, I mean, he has a $30,000 problem.
Yeah.
Are you willing to turn it into a $20,000 problem? Or what's going on? You know, the other thing, too, is bought a couple years ago in that location for less, a superior property, obviously bigger. But, you know, what has happened in there in the last couple years? Has it appreciated, stayed flat? You know, I'm not sure what's going on there in Louisville. But, so that's so you talk to one.
Yep.
You know, see if the other ones are congruent. If it is, you know, you're too high.
I will.
You just never know.
Okay.
See what's happening.
I'll follow up. Yep.
And then what did you find? I've got to look through the data, but what did you find for on the absentee transactions there? What's the average price in the area? Did you see low? Were things moving for lower than 30?
You know what? I didn't figure that piece out. I didn't know where to look.
Okay.
All I got was that number, that 2000 number. So, you know, I'm willing to dig deeper. I just need to figure it out, figure out how.
So use FreedomSoft tonight and
look
up those top buyers in the last 24 to 36 months, cash buyer feature.
Mm-hmm.
And you're specifically looking for that area, that zip code.
Yep.
And you can go to the map because that will show you how many they've bought. It'll map them and it'll show you the price.
Okay, that's perfect, yeah.
So you're going to be looking specifically for that zip code or the surrounding, and when you find it, look at what the property type was, make note, and jot down how much it sold for or how much they bought it for.
Okay.
And see what you can find there, and then I'll check that email tomorrow.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
All right, yep.
All right.
Anybody else? Okay. Good conversation as always. Yeah, make it happen. We'll check in on Thursday, obviously. Any questions, get them into the coaching center. And everybody have a great afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep, take care.
Thanks, Mike.